It's time for Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio, discussing everything about food and spirits in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies is being brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales. Now your host, David Prues.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to our locally produced show, Fairbanks Foodies. I'm your host, David Prues. On this show, we explore meals you can prepare, restaurants to try, events you can participate in, beverages you can create, basically the fun you can have with food, your family, your friends, here in Fairbanks. We have four wonderful sponsors to our show, and I hope that you use them. They treat us so very fine, and we certainly appreciate them. Please use them if you can. They are bedrock of businesses here in Fairbanks. We are already in our fourth year of this show. Fairbanks Foodies was the original, the OG of the show of lineup for you on Saturdays. You have an incredible lineup of talent that is here for you each Saturday in the morning, stretching into the early afternoon. It gets fun. I get to explore meals that I make, restaurants to go to, things that I do, and I share with you. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you put up with me because, what the heck, sometimes I do get animated. So what I'm going to do today is explain to you what I did this last weekend on a Saturday and Sunday. I had a wonderful weekend of cooking in my kitchen with Emily and guests. And so I'm going to bring you through it. You know, we had friends over on both Saturday and Sunday evening. Now, what we get to do here is talk about different cooking styles, different prepping, etc., a whole gamut of things. But what you also have to be prepared for is people arriving late. What time does your food come out? When are your people going to be over? So I cook with all these items in my mind. How's it all going to work? I always try and have my guests come over at 6 p.m. So my dinner is served at 7 p.m. That's the premise. But you have to be adjustable. You know, if you're rigid, it's not fun. And you have to have time for yourself with your guests, interfacing. You know, I'm the queen, the king of my kitchen. When I'm in there, when I'm cooking, no one touches the food but me. My rule is once I'm done cooking, it's over for me. I do dishes as I cook, as I go, as I'm visiting with people. We're all in the kitchen. It's what I call a three-butt kitchen, which means three people can cook in my kitchen, but it's just me. So, here we go. On Saturday, I had a good friend of mine, Trina, who had not been over to my house in some time, and she called me up to complain. Let me know, am I purposely not having her over? And oh, goodness gracious. And Trina can do that to me. We've been good friends for such a long time. So it's time that I brought her and Willie over. And, you know, I grew up with a full Italian mother. So I'm going to cook for Trina an Italian dish. I had not cooked for Trina in a while. I'd never cooked for a full Italian dish. It's time. Now, with my mom, I grew up having pasta every Wednesday and Sunday. Big pasta meal. I love pasta. Pasta is my favorite. If there's ever COVID again, I have enough pasta in my house to last me for a month, month and a half, just eating pasta. Okay, Trina and her wonderful boyfriend, Willie, they're coming over. Well, heck, I've got to invite one of my favorite foodie friends, Tanya, to accompany me and Emily. So five of us are going to have a wonderful meal, and we're going to have a great time to be had. Menu time, what am I going to cook? What will I have? Well, I have this box of Zitti pasta, 16 ounces, a pound, in my cabinet. And I have not used it. It's been sitting in there about a year. So what is Zitti, you ask? It's a macaroni-style pasta. It's a little bit over an inch long, has leveled sides. Now, macaroni is a pasta that is a noodle. My favorite style noodle pasta is rigatoni, a little bit thicker and heavier. Now, Zitti is approximately 1 inch long in length, about a quarter inch wide, whereas penne is the same side, but has cut at angles. So, Zitti is the rectangle, penne is the oh, whatever you want to call it in geometry, but it has cut angles on it. By the way, Tuesday evening, I had a wonderful, incredible penne pasta at a restaurant, but that's more for the end of the show. We'll get to that. Anyway, menu time. What am I going to do? My thought was to make a light cream sauce, then have baked chicken and sauteed mushrooms to add to the plate for texture, taste, and appetite. So the most important aspect of this is, how am I going to make the sauce? So I'm going to make a light cream sauce, and I enjoy wine with some of my sauces, so this would be a perfect way to have a light cream sauce. So when I have a cream sauce I'm going to blend into the pasta, I put the butter in the beginning, and I saute in the different garlic, shallot into it. If I'm going to make a cream sauce to top something with, I put the butter in the end. I reduce the sauce and then put the butter in the end. But this is a sauce that I'm going to have absorb into the pasta, the ziti, so the butter goes in the beginning. So I put a good stick of butter in a big high-edge saute pan and melt the butter, and it's in a medium heat. I don't want to burn the butter. So once it's in a medium heat and it starts bubbling a little bit, I put in half a shallot in there and get it going, and I saute the shallot and the butter for about 3 to 4 minutes. Then I turn up the heat, and I have 3 garlic cloves diced up, and I put the garlic cloves in there. Now, you don't want to burn your garlic, so you're only putting your garlic in for a minute to get the flavor aromatics going into the butter, absorbing it with it. Then after that, I put in a cup of white wine, and I'm using a Pinot Grigio throughout the night. That's what we're having in our wine glasses. That's what I'm serving before dinner and during dinner, Pinot Grigio. So I get that going, and I get it mixed in with the butter, the garlic, and the shallot, and then I put in a cup of cream, heavy cream, not light cream, not half and half, heavy cream, because I'm blending it with a liquid, the wine. So boom, there we go. We have the heavy cream in there, we have the wine, we have the butter, and we're blending it all together. Now we have our taste, so we're sauteing this up. And then I put in fresh basil and fresh oregano to bring it to a taste that I want. Now, another key to cooking is adding the cooked pasta to the sauce and having the pasta absorb into the cream sauce to give the pasta an internal absorbed taste of the cream sauce. So I've got to get the pasta not done, but to the al dente stage of cooking, basically just past a firm texture for the sauce to absorb into the pasta. Now we're going to have chicken, so we also have to contend with that. Now remember, everything you do in the cooking process, I mean everything, influences the food. So I wanted a nice, soft, juicy sliced chicken breast as a meat to go with the pasta. I went to Fred Meyer and I bought 3 beautiful, nice chicken breasts to carve up when cooked for the 5 of us for dinner. So my meal is at 7 p.m. and I'm going to cook my chicken breasts at 350 degrees for 45 minutes, then let them rest for 5 minutes prior to slicing. Then slicing and plating is 5 minutes. So I've got about a 50-minute cooking time frame from when I start to when I serve with the chicken. I want my chicken breasts moist and tender when served. Chicken breasts have a tendency to dry out fast during the cooking process. So what I do, I add moisture during the cooking process. I took each chicken breast and I put them in individual aluminum foil wrappings that I'm going to bake them in. In the wrappings on the bottom of the foil, I placed butter. Then I placed the chicken breast on top of the butter. Then I placed more butter on top of the chicken breast. Then I sealed it or crimped the aluminum foil. I also put in diced garlic and shallots on both the top and the bottom of the chicken breast in the aluminum foil, so the taste of these would absorb into the chicken during the cooking process. Now, I also had sliced mushrooms, but this was 16 ounces, about 1 pound of sliced mushrooms that I was going to cook in a cube of butter, and this would take 10 minutes. But what I'm doing is, in my mind, I'm putting the cooking process of each one in a time with a 7 to 7:15 in time frame, plated at the dinner table. So my cooking time for the ziti pasta was 10 minutes for the water to boil, 10 minutes for the pasta to cook, and 10 minutes for the sauce or the cream sauce to absorb into it. So that's 30 minutes. That's 30 minutes. Maybe 15 minutes for the reduction of the pasta sauce, the cream sauce. So my guests start arriving around 6:15. I already have the oven on, preheated, 350 degrees. I put the chicken in the oven at 6:30. I had time to interact with my guest. I put the water in the boil. At approximately 7 p.m., I put the pasta in the water. It all went well according to plan. But what gets interesting is when you first put the pasta in the cream sauce, because it's not a heavy sauce, and you're wondering, is this really going to work? Is it all going to absorb in? Will it be a good meal? But over a time of 10 to 15 minutes, the soft sauce absorbs into the pasta and reduces itself. Again, I have very high-sided saute pan to do this in. When the sauce is absorbed in and reduced, your pasta is nice and soft. It's time to add the final touch, cheese. It's all, you're looking at your pasta, you're taking your wooden spoon and you're shifting it through, and you're just seeing this a little bit of sauce on the bottom of your pan. That's when you're ready to go. So I put in about a quarter cup of shredded Asiago cheese. I don't want to dominate this wonderful pasta with the absorbed cream sauce in there with cheese. I want it to add to it. I want it to enhance it. Emily was watching me through this cooking process, and she makes a comment, "You don't do measurements, do you?" I laughed and said, "No, not really. I guess I just wing it." So plating the pasta, then touching the sides of the pasta, but not on top of it, I put the mushrooms, the chicken, and the handcrafted Caesar salad all on one plate. And it worked and looked perfect. Everyone got a nice plate of food, a very nice plate of food. In fact, half the people did not finish all on which was on the plate, which was just right. Of course, my plate, completely cleaned. But before we finish this evening, let's talk about what I haven't brought up, the Caesar salad. I love a Caesar salad. I love to make a Caesar salad sauce. So I make the dressing. I hand make the dressing, which is easy. The ingredients you'll need are anchovy fillets, which you'll find at the Fred Meyer on a shelf just above the tuna fish, fresh garlic, one egg yolk, Worcestershire sauce, Grey Poupon mustard, a fresh lemon, extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper. To make this, it's a process of about 7 to 10 minutes. I make it in a mortar and pestle, so I emulsify the ingredients together. I start by cutting up and dicing up as thinly as I can 3 garlic cloves. Then I open up the can of anchovy fillets. I pull out about 2/3 of them, dice them up, and then together throw them in the mortar and start the process of crushing them together, emulsifying them. This is about a 4-minute process, and this is where you're actually trying to get this into as much of a liquid paste form as you can. Then you add the liquids, I put in the egg yolk, and I continue emulsifying, continue crushing. Then a tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, and I continue emulsifying. Then the mustard, then the lemon. And I continually emulsify the ingredients. Then the olive oil. And the olive oil, I put in the mortar slowly, and I'm emulsifying it as I go in, the whole time, emulsifying it. And you can tell when it's all blended together. This is going to take about 2 to 4 minutes. Then I finish it with, and I'm emulsifying it with fresh cracked salt and pepper, fresh. I use about a teaspoon of salt and about a quarter teaspoon of salt and a half a teaspoon of fresh cracked pepper. Then I take the mortar and I put it on the refrigerator and I let it chill. and come together, let the flavors blend together for about an hour and a half. Now, when I serve it, I put it over romaine lettuce about 20 minutes prior to the food service, so the salad dressing and the lettuce blend together. Then just before serving, I add the Parmesan cheese, mix it all up, and put it on the plate. I serve the meal with a style of wine, again, with cream sauce. I use Italian Pinot Grigio. It's wonderful, crisp Italian wine, served chilled, that does not give the flavor hints of a Sauvignon Blanc or a Chardonnay will do. Total food cost on this meal, not including the wine, about $25. $5 a person, and it was great. So Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors, and I'll be back after this.
Attention gluten haters. Finding a place to go out and eat can often be a chore. Well, now you've got a place to enjoy a great gluten-free meal at Ivory Jack's for Gluten-Free Thursdays. Complete with gluten-free lasagna or gluten-free deep-fried halibut. Or swing by any day for gluten-free pizza, burgers, and sandwiches. Even a fine selection of gluten-free beers on hand. So you can eat great and feel great. Thanks to Ivory Jack's in the heart of the Goldstream Valley, Ivory Jack's, where the people are unusual and the parking is always gluten-free.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Fairbanks Foodies, brought to you by the folks at Venue and Fairbanks Beer, located right downtown across from Golden Heart Plaza. More than just beer, wine, and spirits, as they also serve breakfast and lunch with coffee and delicious breakfast burritos and more. Or for lunch, try slow-roasted pork sandwiches, soft pretzels, hand-tossed pizzas, and more. Don't forget to plan your next get-together or event at Venue on 2nd Avenue right next door. Opening at 9 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday. That's Fairbanks Beer and Venue, making downtown Fairbanks awesome.
Rat Pack Cigar on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West, with the largest selection of cigars in Alaska and an awesome tasting room where you can kick back and enjoy a smoke with your friends in comfy leather chairs watching the game on a big screen. That's Rat Pack Cigar, with an incredible humidor filled with almost 150 varieties of cigars of the highest quality. Rat Pack Cigar, open 11 to 7, 7 days a week on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West. It's the all-new Rat Pack Cigar.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It's a nice Saturday afternoon. We're coming into spring. God, it's gorgeous out. Just wonderful. Now, we had a great Saturday meal, and that actually segued into the Sunday meal. Because when I was at Fred Meyer's getting my chicken breast from the butcher there, there, behind the glass, I saw beautiful, wonderful, incredible pork chops. So I thought, Sunday dinner, pork chops, I can cook that. And we'll have red potatoes. And goodness, I'll make a soup. I'll make a Hungarian mushroom soup. Yes, I'm going to do that. So I get two pork chops. And then bring it home and explain to Emily what I'm going to do. And she asked if she could bring her son and his fiance over. So we're going to have four. I said, yeah. So she runs to Fred Meyer's and she gets two more of these incredible inch and a half Duhok pork chops. Just wonderful. So how am I going to cook this? The pork chops, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all four of them in this nice, large bronze tin saute pan that I have. It's beautiful looking. But it can hold the four pork chops. And I'm going to do a reverse. I'm going to do a sear. And then I'm going to put it in the oven to finish it off. But what you do, excuse me, I did this not with that tin. I did it with a cast iron. So I put my cast iron in the oven at 400 degrees for a half hour prior to using it. And I seared on each side. I put it on the oven, on the electric range, got it on medium-high heat after I pulled it out of the oven, put in vegetable oil, and I seared the pork chops, and I had some thyme and some rosemary and some garlic in there with it, and I seared each side for about 3 minutes. Then I put it in the oven at 400 degrees, and I cooked it for 15 minutes, and these came out a perfect medium, medium rare, more on the medium side because it's pork, thick, fantastic, and tasty. My red potatoes, I did the totally opposite way. What I did was I put them in the oven. I got the red potatoes, rather, over at Fred Meyer's, and I cubed them. And then I put vegetable oil on them, and I put on granulated garlic, some good onion powder, some oregano, salt and pepper, and then I put thyme in there, fresh thyme. And I bake those in the oven at 400 degrees for 45 minutes. So as I was putting the pork chops in, I was pulling the wonderful red potatoes out. Now, again, you have to understand when your guests and when you're going to serve. So, again, 6 o'clock service time, everyone's arriving, food's going to be served at 7. Well, the guests didn't get there till 6:30, 6:35, and I had the red potatoes in already. So, fine, I was adaptable. The red potatoes could rest for a while before I gave them the final sauté in the vegetable oil in the high-sided sauté pan. And so they rested, and then once the guests arrived and were ready to do this, you know, after about 20 minutes after they're there, then I started the process of cooking the pork chops, seared them, put them in the oven, and then I got the red potatoes in my sauté pan, and I had got them, and I put the crisp on the edge. So they're moist and tender on the inside, but you have that little crisp on the outside, a little bit of a char. And I like on the potatoes, I like to use Johnny's or Lawry's seasoning, salt and pepper. And then thyme, rosemary. That's all I did. Now, the Hungarian mushroom soup, that's where it got interesting. These are my ingredients for a Hungarian mushroom soup. Basically, cube of butter, 1 large yellow onion diced, 1.5 pounds of fresh mushrooms, 2 tablespoons of dill weed, 3 tablespoons of Hungarian paprika. If you can get the sweet paprika, if you can find it, that's what you should use. 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 2, maybe 3 cups of chicken broth, 1 cup of milk. Now you're going to need 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour. You're going to need a fresh lemon. You're going to need 1/2 cup of sour cream. You're going to need some fresh chopped parsley, and you're going to have ground pepper to taste. So what I did is I did this a whole different way. I did it the basic way in the beginning. Melted butter in a Dutch oven, my blue one. Added the chopped yellow onion, sauteed for 5 minutes, maybe 8. Then I put in the mushrooms, and I put in 1 pound, not the 1.5 pounds, of the sliced mushrooms. And I cooked these, I sauteed them down for about 15 minutes. Then I put in the dill, the paprika, the chicken broth, the soy sauce, all my ingredients, well, not all of them. And I put it on low heat because it's in a cast iron Dutch oven. And I cooked it over reduced heat, simmering it for about 15 minutes, blending it all together. So now I'm in the cooking time for about 40 minutes. Then I take the milk and I take the flour and I whisk it together in a separate bowl. And then after, you know, about 15 minutes of cooking, I put that in. Ah, by this time your mushrooms are pretty thin. But what I did is I took my other 1/2 pound of mushrooms and I cubed them, and this is when I put them in. And I put them in with the milk, with the with the flour in it, and I cooked it together for the final 10 minutes. So I had a very nice texture with a lot of mushrooms in my cup of soup. And then at the end, I added the sour cream, a nice dollop. You know, it's like a half cup, but it's about a third of a cup of sour cream, the big dollop. I put that in there, and I mixed it all together. And, you know, you're getting it to the simmer again. Then I plated it. And when I plated it, I put fresh parsley, about three leaves of each parsley, on my bowl of soup. It looked fantastic. So I served on a plate. On one plate was a very big pork chop, about five cubes of the potato, red potato, and the small cup of soup, all on one plate. It looked fantastic. And, you know, again, it was a Pinot Grigio night for me, but other people had beer and other people had other beverages. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was very, very good, and it worked. But what I did was, you know, you're doing a sear, then a bake, then you're doing a bake and a sear. The sear and the bake was with the pork chops, getting that cast iron skillet in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes at 400 degrees. The potatoes were in the oven, then I pulled them out, then I seared them, and then the Hungarian mushroom soup at the very last 10 minutes, I put in more mushrooms, and it was fantastic. I've never done that before. It was a great evening. We really enjoyed it, and the food was fantastic. Now, I had the mac and cheese at the Greens, and it was incredible. It came with shrimp, scallops, and about 5 ounces of sirloin steak. It's a two-cheese blend. I don't know what the cheeses were, but just tasty, fantastic. It was enough for myself and Emily, two of us eating it. Just fantastic. High marks, one of the better, if not one of the best, mac and cheeses in town. If you like this as a mac and cheese, high marks for it. If you like mac and cheese, this is one you really got to try. Get out there and have it. Now, the best sandwich in Fairbanks. Not chosen by me, but chosen by Fairbanks. On Thursday, go to Garden Island. They have the French dip. They serve the French dip. And if you're not there by 12:20, you have a very chance of not getting it because it's that popular and it's gone that fast. This last Thursday, I was there at 12:35, and that and the fresh-made soups were gone, all gone. So I had a different sandwich, and it was fantastic. I had a great sandwich. But Fairbanks, you have decided that the best sandwich in town is at Garden Island, and it's a French dip. Got to get there early, and whatever you do, do not walk in there at 9:30 or 10 o'clock because the whole place smells like that French, like that baking roast, that baking beef roast. And you're going to start, your mouth will be watering, and you're going to be thinking of nothing but that for the next hour, hour and a half until you can go back there and buy the sandwich. And when you order it, it's freshly made for you. And I have mine with provolone. Oh, it's fantastic. It's a heaping amount, and you get to enjoy it. Oh. Well, Fairbanks, I hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoyed doing it for you. If you haven't made your reservations for Easter brunch yet, you better get that going. You've got about 3 more weekends to do it. You have a great weekend. I will see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales.